everybody. It's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by ShamanSpiritCenter.com and LittleShaman.org. That's me, Little Shaman. Today, I wanted to talk to you about something you may have experienced, even if you don't know the name of it. It's called compassion fatigue, and it's very common among those dealing with narcissistic people. Compassion is basically sympathy. It's caring about the pain of those around you. It's part of what makes living together as human beings possible. Without compassion, no one would help each other. Nobody would care if others are hurt or suffering. Compassion is necessary to live in a society together, but more than that, it's natural for most people. When we hear a story about somebody suffering, most people feel compassion. Empathy enables us to understand how the other person must feel, and we react accordingly with shock, horror, sympathy, and grief. Fatigue means to be tired or exhausted. So put simply, compassion fatigue means that your sympathy well has been exhausted. It's run dry. It's empty or very low. And because of that, you might find yourself reacting with indifference or even anger to someone's pleas for rescue, sympathy, or help, especially if they are someone who has done this repeatedly. Compassion fatigue is often seen in those who are in the helping professions, such as nursing or medicine. They can become so depleted due to the frequency or magnitude of suffering they're confronted with that they become indifferent or even cold toward their patients. This doesn't mean they don't care. It means they're burned out. Their sympathy well has run dry from overuse, and they cannot react the way that they once did anymore. Compassion fatigue is especially dangerous for those in these fields, not just because it can result in legal and ethical problems, but because it can impact the standard and level of care that they're providing. Compassion fatigue is not a lack of empathy. On the contrary, it is an absolute indicator that empathy does exist within this person. Someone with compassion fatigue may even feel guilty or ashamed because they don't seem to care as much as they used to, whereas a person with no empathy generally doesn't even realize they should care at all, and they certainly would not feel guilty that they don't. When you are dealing with a pathologically narcissistic person, you might find that over time, you can't react the way that you used to react to their hysteria, crises, and the catastrophes that they managed to create in their lives and in yours. You may or may not still help them, but you will often find that you're becoming indifferent to or resentful of the suffering and pain that they're presenting you with. The suffering of pathologically narcissistic people is usually genuine. They are miserable, frightened, self-loathing, and unhappy. People usually can see that, and they may overextend themselves, at least initially, continuously, trying to help. However, there's nothing you can do for pathologically narcissistic people except present yourself as a target for abuse that they can use to take some of the heat off themselves. That's all they will allow you to do. You must learn to have empathy for toxic people without feeling that it's your responsibility to fix them or their problems. Compassion should not result in yourself being harmed, and you cannot help somebody who will not help themselves. Trying to help narcissistic people is like walking beside a lake and suddenly you see somebody drowning. They scream and beg and plead for help, so of course you jump in to save them. All the way to the shore, they thank you profusely and declare how wonderful and amazing and fantastic you are. But as soon as you deposit them on dry land, back to safety, they punch you in the face, scream at you for daring to interfere with what they were doing, then jump back into the water. After a few seconds, they begin screaming and begging for you to save them all over again. You jump back in, of course, because it's an emergency, and the whole thing repeats itself over and over and over. This is not healthy, and it is what causes compassion fatigue in these relationships. There are too many emergencies. You may also find that not only do you not react emotionally the way that you used to, but that your body does not react the way that it used to either. When your heart used to pound and your hands would shake and your adrenaline used to race, that no longer happens. Now the only physical reaction you have is being exhausted from swimming out to save them all the time. This is sometimes known as adrenal fatigue, and it happens for the same reason as compassion fatigue. Your body has been under so much stress for so long, it simply cannot react the way that it used to anymore. It's burned out. Adrenal fatigue and compassion fatigue can occur together in situations when you're dealing with narcissistic people because they are often abusive and high-conflict personalities, but they're also people who provoke a lot of sympathy, and they often seem to require a lot of care. Indeed, you may feel more like a parent or a nurse or another type of caregiver to this person rather than what you actually are, whether that's their child, their parent, their spouse, their friend. It is this unique blend of total exhaustion that people dealing with narcissists usually encounter eventually. Their bodies are tired, their minds are tired, and their emotions have been burned out. Compassion fatigue often only extends to the person that has depleted you, at least at first, but it can also affect all of your compassion and sympathy for everybody. Over time, it undoubtedly will. The key is to recognize that it's happening and take steps to protect yourself. Guilt can be a complicating factor of compassion fatigue as well. People can feel guilty that they no longer react the same way that they used to. They can feel ashamed, like they're a bad person for not caring anymore. They can feel afraid. This means they're becoming like the narcissistic person with no empathy and no compassion. Don't worry. Empathy doesn't just go away. You still have it. It's just that your sympathy and compassion have been used too much, too often. For example, if you are dealing with someone who is constantly suicidal, as some narcissistic people are, then after a while, no matter how deeply you care or how completely you understand, you're eventually going to stop being as sympathetic as you once were. This isn't because you don't care, and it's not even because you're used to it. It's because you simply cannot function at that high level of stress and compassion all the time. You may still engage in the actions of supporting this person, but you may not feel the same as you used to feel. You may not react physically as if it's an emergency anymore or get as upset as you used to get. Eventually, you may not get upset at all if it goes on for years and years. Once again, this does not mean that you don't care. It means that you've become overextended emotionally and you simply cannot react as you used to react. Your body literally can't do it anymore. Narcissistic people, and sometimes others, honestly, may react badly to compassion fatigue. They don't realize or understand the emotional and physical burden that you've been operating under. To them, if you don't get upset, it means you don't care. They may accuse you of this outright, making any guilt or shame that you feel worse. A person might think to themselves, well, they're saying I don't care, and I sure don't feel like I used to feel. Maybe I really don't care. All of the times that you reacted with emotion and urgency in the past don't matter to a narcissist, and these things are not mentioned. All that matters is now. When you're dealing with a pathologically narcissistic person, your emotions are in the red zone all the time, all of them, all the emotions, all the time. Nobody can operate at that level forever. It just can't be done. Something has to give, and eventually it does. Some signs that you are experiencing compassion fatigue are chronic exhaustion, physical, mental, emotional, or all three, depersonalization of the person or the people who are suffering, numbness or indifference to the suffering of others that is new or increasing, these feelings are getting worse, resenting or blaming other people for their suffering, especially unfairly, a feeling that you used to care more than you do now, a feeling that the person or the people in pain control the relationship or you, or that their suffering controls these things, being angry at yourself or hating yourself for not caring or for avoiding the person or the situation, insomnia, nightmares, somnambulism, which is sleepwalking or other trouble sleeping, physical symptoms like headaches, weight loss, or overeating and things like that. If you find that you're experiencing compassion fatigue, it's important to remember, number one, that it doesn't mean you don't care, and number two, it's necessary to take care of yourself. Compassion fatigue is a sign that you're not doing that. You are overextending yourself, and your body and your mind are sending you warning signals. Think of it like the gas gauge in your car. When it's getting too low, the gas light comes on. It makes a noise to let you know, hey, you need to do something about this. This is the same thing. Here are some things that you can do to help yourself if you are dealing with compassion fatigue. Take a step back from the caregiver aspect of the relationship, at least emotionally. Create strong emotional boundaries and enforce them. Limit your exposure to traumatic or emergency situations. For example, you don't need to respond to every single thing that happens. You don't have to watch the news, those kind of things. Keep a journal or write letters to get your feelings out of you. You don't have to send them. Talk to friends or counselor that you can work with. Build up parts of your life that you enjoy, like hobbies or taking a walk in nature. Gain some perspective about the situation and your involvement, especially emotionally. Learn what your responsibilities are and what they aren't. Ground yourself daily with earthing, meditating, water immersion, or some other form of grounding. Lastly, step away from the situation or the relationship completely if you need to. If you don't feel like you can cut it off totally, maybe you can just take a break for a little while. There's nothing wrong with that. Remember, you can only do what you can do. We have a finite reserve of sympathy and compassion. That means it's not infinite. It can be used up. If this happens, it needs to replenish itself. It can only do that if you're able to back off of the situation or the relationship and take the time to do it. Even if you end the relationship and you never see this person or these people again, you still need to do that. Have some compassion for yourself too. Compassion fatigue can have serious ramifications on mental and emotional health if it's not addressed. Worse, it can eventually rob people of healthy compassion for others, and that is something we definitely need more of in this world. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. I take appointments online, over the phone, via Skype, via Messenger, through text message, through email. So if you're interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org to go ahead and do that. I also teach workshops a few times a month. So if you're interested in seeing what I have to offer and signing up for any of those, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that as well. Right now we have one about creating and learning how to use boundaries. And I also have another one about shadow work. So go ahead and check those out. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by ShamanSpiritCenter.com and LittleShaman.org. That's me, the Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.